guidance and truth. And Lord, we would never depend upon our own capabilities, our own talents even that you've given to us. But Lord, we will always trust in thee. In Jesus' name, amen. I had another message, but I realized I had already preached it. So I went and looked. That's why I've left a couple times. And so I was working on my chaplain class, and I thought, and it was about hope. And I have never taught on hope or preached on hope directly. And I thought, well, that'd be a good message. And I said, no, I've already got this morning's, you know, decided, so I'll do it another time. And always good to get ahead. And then I went and searched in my office and typed in my title. I said, oh, wow, I taught that about a year ago. And I said, I'm going to go get that other one. So I tried to get it on my computer here. Couldn't get it over up. So I went over there and printed it, my notes. But the question in the class was bringing hope to a crisis or difficult situation is one of the primary things chaplains do. What is your definition of hope? And how do you bring that into a situation while still being sensitive and authentic? Well, I didn't just define hope simplistically. I said, this is what I started out the answer with, verboseness alert. Hope is a very misunderstood Bible word and concept. Hope infers more than simply wishful desires. It infers trust, confidence, or expectation, or an expectation of an outcome. That's what hope is. In a very basic sense, I took this out of one of my devotional books, my devotional four. The word hope means desire, yet the true meaning is not merely as weak as the world presents. And when we think of hope, sometimes I hope so, or I hope that's true, or I hope. But the word hope in Scripture is associated with expectation. And then I give a Scripture verse, and you know the person can look it up. Hope is not simply some kind of wishful thinking. It's something that someone trusts in dearly. Jeremiah 17:7. This type of hope is not something visible to the naked eye. Romans 8:24. But it is believed and held firm by faith. Hebrews 11:1. Every person lives their lives based upon hope. However, not all hope is the same. So that's a simple, complex definition. I go into seven things about hope. Look at Romans chapter 8 and look at what it says about hope. We are saved by hope. Now think about it. I hope I'm saved. Well, you know, you wouldn't hopefully, that's sort of a weird way of saying it. Hopefully you wouldn't say that, you know, because we think of wish. I hope I'm saved. So Romans 8:24 says, for we are saved by hope. But hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for? But if we hope for that we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. With patience we wait for the hope. You know, Jesus is called the blessed hope. I didn't know that for a long time. You know, I never really thought about it. You know, somebody used it as a email address, you know, blessed hope, and they maybe a website, blessed hope, And I never really thought about, you know, looking for that blessed hope. And really, that's we're looking for Jesus. So when you study prophecy, you realize the blessed hope is Jesus. We're looking for the blessed hope. But when you're looking at this, we are saved by hope. But it's not something you can see. I got saved, as you know, 40 years ago. I was saved by grace through faith. But the Bible says I'm saved by hope. Now, maybe that's a physical salvation too. You know, every time you see salvation in the Bible doesn't mean that it's a spiritual salvation. We're saved by hope. Saved by hope. Also a living salvation. Look at Romans 15. Romans chapter 15. The second thing I pointed out is that the Scriptures bring hope. Why do we have such a hopeless world? They don't have the Bible. The Bible is to me such a magnificent thing because It brings hope into my life. And again, hope isn't wishful thinking, but look at what it says, Romans 15:4. And whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. Through patience and comfort of the Scriptures, we might have hope. The Bible ought to give you comfort. The Bible says, and I'll tell you what, go ahead and turn over there to 2 Corinthians chapter 1, I think it is. And I like this because when you're dealing with a chaplaincy, you're dealing with comforting people. And again, 2 Corinthians chapter 1 is the chapter on comfort. 2 Corinthians 1, 3. Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, and the God of all comfort. The Scriptures ought to give you comfort, and what we're talking about is the God of all comfort. Comfort comes from God. I can't comfort you. I can try. I can say something maybe that might help you get through a problem, but really the comfort's got to come from God, and He's called the God of all comfort. Look at verse 4. Who comforteth us in all our tribulation. So, you know, I was doing the debate, and they were talking about, we're going to go into the tribulation. I said, tribulation? We got tribulation all the time. And they thought, oh, that was a terrible thing to say. And I quoted the Scripture, tribulation worketh patience. And I quoted this and I said, who comforteth in all our tribulation? You realize you're a Christian, you're going to go through tribulation. You're going to go through problems. You're going to go through struggles in life. He is the one that comforteth us in all our tribulation. If you're going through something, it's the God of all comfort that comforts you in that tribulation. Why does He do that? It's important to understand this, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble. What's tribulation? It's just trouble. You ever have trouble? You've gone through tribulation. You ever have tribulation? It's trouble. Easy to define the world. You don't need to change the Bible. What does it say? It says, who comforteth us in all our tribulation, we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble. By what? By the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. I can comfort others because God comforts me. Now, if you don't get the comfort from God and you attribute it to a person, you're going to struggle with helping others out because you don't realize it's not up to you. When you try to help somebody out, if they don't take your help, you can't get all bent out of shape and say, oh, they should have listened to me. I had all the answers. You can't do that. You've got to depend upon God in every aspect of your life, in everything you go through. He is the God of all comfort. He comforts us so we can comfort others. Why don't you get a lot of comfort? Maybe because you're not comforting to others. What do they say? Pay it forward. You know, not a bad concept. Somebody brings you comfort. God brings you comfort. What should you do? You should comfort others. Why? Because that's why God gave you the comfort in the first place. And the more comforting you are to others, the more you may get comforted of the God of all comfort. And then it's this cycle, but it's a good thing. It's not a vicious cycle. It's a good cycle. You comfort others with a comfort wherewith God's given you. And then God gives you more comfort to comfort other people's. And then you become pretty comforting. That's a good thing. I want to be comforting to people. That doesn't mean I lie to you. It doesn't mean I don't tell you the truth. It doesn't mean that I can't be honest with you. It just means that when the time comes, I hope that my focus, my thoughts, my direction, my emphasis is on comforting others. I want to be a comfort to people that need comfort. And guess what? We all need it. Now you may think, well, that just doesn't sound like a Baptist, independent Baptist for sure. It sure doesn't sound like something that they preach all the time. No, we don't. We don't preach on charity either. We don't preach on a lot of things that we should preach on, and we get focused on, you know, well, I got the truth, and therefore, if anybody doesn't have the truth, pounce, pounce, pounce on them. I don't want to be like that. Sure have. Guilty as charged. But I'm determined. I'm going to figure some things out. I'm going to figure out, how it is that I have failed. How we have failed as a group or as a movement. How have we failed in reaching the world? Truth is important. Truth is crucial. Truth is, it makes you free. And here's the truth. He's the God of all comfort who comforts you so you can learn how to comfort other people. That's a truth too. Can't ignore one. Think you're right about the other. He goes through, and I could spend all day on this in this passage again, but look at verse 9. Paul says we have the sentence of death in ourselves. Why, Paul, did you have the sentence of death in yourself? That we should not trust in ourselves, but in God which raises the dead. Paul said, we have the sentence of death in ourselves so that we would learn to do the very thing that is crucial in anybody's life. Trust in God. Trust in God. You know, if you had a death sentence on you, and by the way, all of us did, spiritually, eternal damnation, but I'm not really talking about that. I'm talking about a physical death sentence. They condemn you to die. You're not a murderer. You're not a thief. You're a Christian. They used to eat Christians, you know, put them in the lion's den. It's not inconceivable that it won't happen again. We are creating a society that is very violent. I got a question for you. How does somebody with a prop gun kill somebody else? Why does he have a prop gun if he's anti-Second Amendment? Why do the movies out of Hollywood who are proponents for all this gun control, why do they have so many guns and killing and murder and maim in their movies? Because they're teaching a world that it's entertainment. You know why, and I mentioned it last week, you know why something can happen on a train and people video instead of interfering with what's going on and a woman is being raped? You know why that happens when something horrific is happening? Because we become a generation of being entertained. Everything's entertainment. And the entertainment is wicked as hell itself. But yet, the ones that are the proponents for all this great society, all those Hollywood actors, are the most violent, decadent, reprobate people because they really don't believe what they preach. You know what a Christian ought to do? They ought to believe what they preach. You ought to believe what you say and believe it because it comes from the Bible. You ought to believe it and stand firm on it, and it ought to be the truth and say that it is the truth. But you better believe it. Believe it. Don't be like Hollywood. They had the sentence of death in them. And then one more verse and we'll go back. Who delivered us from so great a death, past, and doth deliver, present, in whom we trust that he will yet deliver, future. Past, present, and future deliverance. I don't want anything else but past, present, future deliverance. What a great God. You know why he's the God of all comfort? Because all you got to do is read that verse right there and you say, you know what? God delivered me in the past, the present. Or he delivered me in the past. Where am I now? He will deliver me in the here and now. What about the future? Future's God's. How can I trust that? Because the Bible is the scripture. It brings comfort. It brings comfort. That's number two. Number three is also in Romans 15 about hope. That's what we're looking at. Romans 15. The Bible says that God is the God of hope. Romans 15, 13. Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing that you may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. He's the God of hope. He fills you with all joy and peace in believing. Why? So you can abound in hope. How? Through the power of the Holy Ghost. Number four. Look at 1 Timothy chapter 1. When you see God, you know it's God the Father, God the Son, God the Spirit. He's three in one. So when I said God is the God of hope, that could be God the Father, but it's God in general, it's God. Now I want to narrow it down and show you the Lord Jesus Christ is our hope. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the commandment of God our Savior and Lord Jesus Christ, which is our hope. Your hope is not in a church, in a baptismal certificate or act. It's not in how good you are. Your hope is in a person. That person is the Lord Jesus Christ. That's where our hope is. Boy, if I didn't have that hope, I would be of all men most miserable, Paul wrote. What kind of hope do you have? Is it a sure hope? Is it the blessed hope? Is it the hope that the Bible gives? Number five. We're moving all along very fast. I told you there's only seven of them. So I don't know where this will end up. May end up that you get to the restaurant before noon. But that's okay. There's not this rule, I got to go till noon. Or 12:20. I used to preach a whole lot longer. Somebody was asking me about that the other day and said, you know, well, you got to be out by noon or something. And I said, no. I said, but you know what? We don't waste a lot of time around here. So we get out a little early. And I said, the second thing is I was an evangelist for 19 years. I'd go into a church and I'd have Sunday morning, Sunday night. That's it. You know what I had to do? I had to load her up. So most of my sermons had 2 to 3 times as much as I give in one sermon in here. Why? I got a little more time here. I know that I may be able to preach tonight. I may be back on Wednesday. I may even have another week to do something. And another week. I've been here, I wish I'd have looked it up before I was getting ready to say this. I've been here more than 2 years. That's 104 weekend, you know, Sundays. And preached every one of them, but I've been here a lot of times. I've preached more in this church than any other church I've ever preached in, other than the one where I was pastoring for 5 years in Montgomery. I just thought about that. I can't lie to you. Sooner or later, I will have preached more. Why? I can slow it down and I can give you things and then I don't have to wear you out because it's not like a one-shot thing and then I'm off to another church. We get out of here whenever I believe that God's give the message that God wants to give. Do you know that He can give that message in 10 minutes? Do not get your hopes up. Okay? But He could. The Lord Jesus Christ is our hope. Look at Colossians 1. You know the gospel is called the gospel of hope. But it's a sure thing. It's not I wish. It's the gospel of hope. Colossians 1:23. If you continue in the faith grounded and settled and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel, which ye have heard, which was preached to every creature, which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister. The hope of the gospel. So somebody says, define hope. Well, it's not a simple task. I just know that I define it where I say it's not a wish. That's probably the where I would hone in on. It's not I wish. That's not the hope of the Bible. But it talks about the gospel of hope. You know what the gospel brought me when I got saved? Man, it brought me hope. I wouldn't have defined it like that. I wouldn't have said, well, it brought me hope. Now I would say, looking back, boy, did it bring me hope. And it wasn't just that I'm going to heaven when I die, although that was a great hope. Sure thing. It's more like a daily living. I could get through a day, through a week, through a month, through life. And until I, you know, lose my, you know, listen, as you get older, you're not as sharp. Somebody asked me, well, you know, what's one of your failings? I said, names. It was in our chaplaincy. I wish I could remember names better. But I also then said, probably to keep me humble, God didn't bless me with that. But the problem is, now I can't remember faces. Oh, man, that is terrible to meet so many people. And you look at them, and you go, where do I know them from? Oh, yeah, they go to Faith Independent Baptist Church. No, I'm just kidding. I'm not that bad yet. But listen, it happens to all of us. As you go through life, you know, you're just not as sharp as you used to be. Now, it's a scary thing for me to watch that go on. But yet God's in control. Why didn't He? Man, there are not many things in my life that I wish that I had. I don't care if I had $1 million. I don't care if I had a Cadillac. I always like Cadillacs, but I don't need a Cadillac. I mean, that's not my desire. Remember names. Remember names. Remember names and faces together. Do you know what kind of a compliment that is to people? It's huge. But then I'd be depending on that and maybe not depending on God to be merciful to me so I don't look as stupid as I do sometimes. What was the one? Ellie Mae, I think. Ernie Mae. God. You know, and then the one I was thinking of, Gary, and I said Brenda something, and I'm like, and then I don't even always hear it. Now I did hear Ellie, when I said Ellie Mae, I was like, something's wrong with that. Something's wrong with that. And I'm like, Uni Mae. Oh, you dumb, 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 dumb. But you know what? It's probably the most humbling thing that I have in my life is my blundering of Jan and Pam. Remember that for months and months? Now, you know, and one I don't ever tell you. I'm trying to think how to say it. It's two more names. I'll skip it for now. I'll tell you some other time when I remember exactly how to say it. Madeline and Madison. That's actually what it is. And I look at her and I go, that's the other one. And I cannot say it because once I say it, then it becomes it. It's just the way it is. But every time I see Madeline, I have to think it through. This morning, she says, well, I said, you want me to ask the church to pray about it? And she says, yes. And I'm like, Madeline, why? It's the only one I see around here 95% of the time. But it's just something that got into my mind. You know, Wesley and Debbie, I have to think, I sometimes do Debbie first, and then I get to Wesley. Debbie James. Wesley and Debbie. Got it. Whew. I mean, you know, if I was great on names, I probably would depend on that. And I would be so proud of that. I know I'd be proud of it. I mean, it'd be a stumbling block to me in life because I'd be so proud that I'm so good. And I remember one person in college, and I told you about her. She thought everybody was like her and could remember anybody's name, but nobody could remember hers. She said something to me. She was dating a friend of mine. She said something to me one time. Well, I can't believe, I guess I'm just not impressive because nobody remembers my name. Because she could remember everybody else's. I wish I could have asked her, and I should have, how do you do that? Just to see if there was a technique. And I've done the teapot and the, whatever, coffee pot. You know, you try to look, and then I forget, what the mountain? What's the mountain got to do with that? Or, you know, what? I can't do it. So pray for me that God will help me with names. I would love to be able to do that better. Whatever that's got to do with anything, I hope it helps. Look at Hebrews 6. Hebrews 6. Maybe I knew I was running out of landing strips so quick, I needed to just chase a rabbit for a minute. Hebrews 6. Hope means, and this is longer than the other ones, to place confidence in, to trust in with confident expectation of good. Hope involves confidence in a future event. The highest degree of well-founded expectation of good as a hope founded on God's gracious promises. Hebrews 6, let's just look at the scripture. Verse 18. That by two immutable things, in which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation. We have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us. Which hope we have is an anchor of the soul. Notice that. Our hope is an anchor of the soul. Both sure and steadfast, and which entereth into that within the veil, whither the forerunner is for us entered, even Jesus, made an high priest forever, after the order of Melchizedek. Now look at that. That hope. Hebrews 6:18. Sorry. Hebrews 6:18 through 20. So did anybody get there? Oh, you did? Okay. I was going to read it again. It's an anchor of the soul, sure and steadfast. Sure and steadfast. That's the hope. Number 7. Number 7 is in 1 John chapter 3. Hope is a catalyst for purity. It's a catalyst for purity. 1 John 3:3, and every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself even as he is pure. Purify. Everybody that has this hope purifieth himself. It's a catalyst for purity. A lot of impurity in the world. Why? Because of a lack of hope, probably. And if you don't know what the future holds, how many of you know basically, now I'm talking in a spiritual sense, Jesus coming back, how many of you know what the future holds? Raise your hand. Look at that. Throughout the... What a hope. What a hope. But it's just sure and steadfast. It's an anchor of the soul. You know what an anchor is? You know, you put an anchor in, it doesn't move. Hope is an anchor of the soul. I'm going to close on this. This is what I wrote. Hope is the desire of some good accompanied with at least the slight expectation of obtaining it or a belief that it is obtainable. Hope differs from wish and desire in this, that hope implies some expectation of obtaining the good desired or the possibility of possessing it. Hope, therefore, always gives pleasure or joy, whereas wish and desire may produce or be accompanied with pain and anxiety. Oh, I wish. Then you don't get it. Oh, I wish. And then you have anxiety. Wishing that the wish would come true. You know what the hope is? It's an anchor of the soul. You know what hope is? It's totally different from wishing. We have a hope that's true. A hope that's powerful and unmoving. It's an anchor of the soul. Wow. That's how hope differs from a biblical definition versus a worldly definition. You have that hope? Jesus Christ? God? Do you have that hope? That hope ought to change your life. Let's all stand together. Lord, we do thank you for your many blessings. Lord, we thank you for all that you do for us. Lord, you are a great God of hope. A hope that's an anchor to our soul. A hope that can change us and mold us and to make us into what we ought to be for Jesus Christ. Lord, we are so thankful for what you do for us in giving us the sense of security and the truth in a way that, Lord, we can stand upon it, not be moved. We pray this in Jesus' name. With your head bowed and eyes closed, the music plays.